Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I really, in spring training and our catching, we had a really a split camp on what move we were going to make. We debated it long and hard. Finally decided to go in this direction because it actually is finally my decision. It ended up being a spot where we also thought we might get Leon through waivers, which we did, so we could have some depth. But then as we got here at this point, you know, there's only one move you can make, and it's with Swihart if you're going to replace him. And so for us, we just figured we wanted to bring Leon up to handle our pitching staff. He's really good at it. And so we're in a position, that's what we decided to do.
You wonder what Dave Dombrowski and John Henry are thinking right now. I mean, yeah, everything's just disemboggled on that team.
Disemboggled.
It is disemboggled.
That's what happens when you sit down with your girlfriend and you watch SmackDown.
It's disemboggled.
Yep. Unbelievable. I will say this, that if anybody thought that, and I heard some people do this, say that this is going to be much better. Sandy Leon back there is going to calm Chris Sale down. It's going to do all of this other stuff. Anything Chris Sale did last night was because he upped the velocity and he threw the ball harder. That was all on him. As far as calling the game or whatever, as you had pointed out earlier in the show, I'm not sure Sandy Leon did anything positive for that team last night. See, he was 0-for-3 at the plate.
Thinking more about the Swihart thing, right? So there's two parts of it. If you're Alex Cora, would you rather have Sandy on your team than Blake Swihart?
I would rather have Sandy because right now my starters are discombobulated, and I want to make sure that I want to calm them down. Yes.
Everything's just disemboggled. Yeah.
So I understand that. I get that. You know, and it's like short term. Will it ease a few of these pitchers? You know, will it sort of feel like they have a fresh start? Like the first three series didn't go well, but now, you know, but he's not going to catch everybody. He's not catching tonight. Vasquez catching tonight. So I get it. It's just that there's another side. The other side is Swihart. You know how I think there's more there. I think they've screwed him. I don't think they've helped him from day one of this kid as far as developing him into anything. I think they gave up on him. I don't think they trusted him, and I think there's more there. So there's, but on the other side, I mean, if you're Alex Cora, like, who would you rather have?
If you know
your staff praises this guy as a game caller, so I get that. I just think they gave up on the kid too soon.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
And do you think that Chris Sale bitched about Sandy Leon?
I don't. No, I don't.
Me neither.
I don't. I wouldn't.
Never in a million years. I don't think so.
So I wouldn't be surprised, though, if in conversation with Alex Cora, as he's talking to the pitchers or whatever, they might be saying something. You know, geez, you know, Blake doesn't really, you know, call a great game, or he's not. I don't feel. They might have said something. I don't think anybody was outright bitching. I don't think it was Sale.
There might have been a couple people that would have liked him. They enjoy throwing it to him. And I don't think. I'm just going to make a prediction. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Vasquez will catch Erod.
Okay.
And that Porcello will get his binky.
Okay. And here's the problem I would have with all of this stuff, that you still have two guys right now that are not giving you much at the plate, right? Vasquez is not doing much. And what are you going to get out of Sandy Leon? He will have a hot 3 or 4 weeks, sometime during the course of the season.
Sure about that. He did that three years ago.
Yes.
Right. You sure about that?
Oh, boy.
It may be. He's due.
Sale's here for 6 years. What are you going to do if he doesn't throw to
Sandy? So who would you rather have hitting? Would you rather have Rick Porcello or Sandy Leon?
Rick.
Absolutely.
Can you do that?
No.
No? You sure?
You can't. Well, you could use him to pinch hit, right? You could bring Porcello in to pinch hit.
To pinch hit for Sandy?
Yeah.
That'd be outstanding, wouldn't it?
Oh, the baseball purists would love
that. But hold on. You guys tell me. Is that not an upgrade? If you were to do that in a game on an off day, Porcello's not pitching in an off day.
The fact that we have to even think about that, because the answer might be yes.
Yes.
It is an upgrade. It might be. But, you know, I think he'll get Porcello and you know, Rick and, you know, Vasquez and, you know, Swihart caught him once and must have thrown him off and whatever.
Here we go.
This is downright embarrassing.
Here's Red Sox catchers in Major League Baseball. So this would be both the American and the National League. Since the start of last season, 2018, in which your Boston Red Sox were the World Series champs. Hope you remember that. So we've got 30 teams overall. Batting average, 194. They rank 30th. On-base percentage, 244. They rank last, 30th. Slugging percentage, 300. They rank 30th. OPS, 544. They rank 30th.
Let's go Red Sox.
Now, can I tell you what they... What the Red Sox pitchers?
Yeah, go ahead.
Have hit since the start of 2018 season.
Yes, go ahead.
222. The pitchers have hit 222. The catchers have hit a .194.
Is that unbelievable?
They have a higher on base percentage, slightly less slugging, and their OPS is pretty much identical.
Woo, Red Sox!
224 from the pitchers, a .195 from the catchers.
I said Red Sox.
But hey, get the pitch if they can get the pitchers right.
And Porcello's probably your best hitting pitcher, right? So I think Porcello to answer my own
Pedro,
question.
Lowe, Wakefield.
I think I'd rather have Porcello up there at the plate than Sandy Leone in a key moment. And so what you're going to end up doing is you're going to do a lot of pinch hitting late in games. So no matter whether you have Sandy Leone to start a game, if you're in an important game, and I think there might be some important games here, Lou, because there's a lot of catching up when you're 7.5 out. So it's not like you're breezing through the season like you were last year and you've got a cushion. We said that how many times in the first couple of months? Ah, they get time. They get time to wait for this guy or Bradley or whatever. You know why? Because they're way ahead of everybody. They're not in that position.
You can play every scenario that can get kind of uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
Because now you maybe you don't pinch hit for Vasquez in the seventh.
Right.
You know, maybe you normally would, but you don't because, you know, if you pinch hit for Vasquez, Leone's in there and he's going to get the closer in the ninth. That's going to be a fun at bat, right?
So I think it's a more difficult, really, assignment now for Alex Cora to try to figure this out, don't you?
Yes. Well, I think he's happy.
Well, he's happy because
he's got his guy.
Yeah, he solved one of his problems, but it creates another one.
Yeah.
It really does create another one. If Swihart, and you're right. They never gave Swihart an opportunity. I certainly think he can hit. I still question whether he can catch. We'll see. But as a hitter, somewhere down the road, I think you're going to hear from him.
The other issue I have, too, is this is a team that's been extremely patient, correct? I mean, like last year, as far as like guys and starting and taking care of them and giving them rests and everything else.
How do you do that this year?
You don't, because you don't have many guys on the bench, and obviously Benintendi's not playing today. But I think it's fair to sit there and ask, why is Pedroia here? Why is Steve Pierce here? Why aren't these guys in AAA for 3 weeks using your maximum amount of games to rehab, especially a guy like Pedroia? Give him some time. He missed a lot of time. Bring up a kid in Sue Wade Lynn, to me, who's very good defensively, and I got a little bit stronger. I don't mind the swing at all. I think the kid can play. And let him platoon with Nunez for a while Petey goes down and tries to find his stroke. What was wrong with Sam Travis? He came up here for a couple of games early on, had one game, I think he had two hits.
He did.
Why not let Steve Pierce, who missed, the last 2-3 weeks of camp, start the year down in AAA?
So let's start with
Get a little bit of groove. What was the rush to get both of these guys up when, to me, you had guys that for a couple weeks you could survive with to get those guys on top of their game when they showed up in the major leagues?
All right, so what do you think it is? Let's start with Pedroia. Is it a matter of... they don't want to embarrass him and they want to make sure that, because they had to have him on opening day. Remember that? We heard in spring training he was going to stay behind for a while. They were going out west. They had to have him here for opening day.
Can I go home?
But I just feel like sometimes they rush guys in rehab, and I've been there before, and a lot of these guys don't want to stay down there longer than they have to. And you know, if you're on a 10-day DL, you're sitting there saying, I don't need, you know, rehab, you know, especially if it's June. You know, and I've already got the foundation of April, May, and I'm into the season a little bit. I've got 120 at-bats. I don't – 10 days, I'm taking BP. I'll get it live a couple rounds. I'm good. But to start the season, when you missed the last few weeks of camp like Steve Pierce did, there's absolutely no reason not to get him down there and say, you know, we'll put you at first. We'll play you in left. We'll give you a day off. We'll DH you a couple times. How do you feel? Good. Okay, you know what? We're still going to give you about 10 games to get going. You know, we'll see if Travis was swinging a bat well in just a couple of his games he was at. Now, if he's slumping and you don't feel comfortable, then and he's sitting a bat playing well and swinging a bat well in AAA, bring him up.
Well, there's one thing.
Same thing with Pedroia. Like, what? I don't know if there was a rush to have to get him there for opening day, but what is wrong with saying, okay, did he play back-to-back games, and now that he's done that, we get him back up. Well, okay, physically he played back-to-back games. How's his swing? Like, how does he look?
He does not
look
good.
Is he locked in?
No, he does not look good.
Yeah, so when he comes back to the big leagues for the 100? First time in a year, he's not stuck in a hole where he's hitting a .003?
Yeah, but I'm wondering. I'm wondering with him. The rush might have been with him. He might have gotten patient. He might have pushed them that he wants to be here. He wants to play. And he can be a little stubborn, right?
Right, what you guys want.
He can be.
Yeah.
So maybe that was part of it. and they don't want to push back on him. But I hear what you're saying. Really, there's a mileage on him of how many games he's going to be able to play. So don't you want to make sure that you get him 100% and you get him back in the groove? Because there is going to be a limit on how many games you're going to get out of him. He's not going to go out there and play 140, 150 games.
They're scared.
I think we all know that.
Right.
But maybe you can get him to 100 games this season. Oh, yeah. Maybe you get him to 90 games this season.
For a guy that missed an entire year, why is back-to-back games like, okay, now he's done that, he's back? How about 3 out of 4?
I don't get it.
How about 4 out of 5? How about 5, 6 games in a row? Use that time to make sure that when he comes back, he just got right into the swing of things.
Yeah, I don't get it. The Pierce one, I'm not sure I understand. Do you understand the Pierce one?
No. You lost
to Pedroia, I almost
two or 3 weeks. Like like Travis, I know Alex doesn't trust Sam Travis, I'm sure. You know, he trusts Steve Pierce. I understand why. But Steve Pierce last year when you got him was playing every single day, and he came in and he just did his thing. You missed those last two. You missed the first 2 weeks of camp, no big deal. You missed the last 2 weeks of camp and then the first week of season. Man, you kind of jump into the big leagues trying to catch up. Again, the team feels like the roster up and down is trying to catch up, and you can't do that in the regular season. It's extremely hard to do that in a regular season.
Jay is in Springfield. Next step here on OMF. What do you got, Jay?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good,
Thanks
Jay.
For taking my call. I was wondering your opinion about the Celtics. No Al Horford tonight, and they
maybe.
Are...
Maybe no Al Horford.
Maybe no Al Horford. Win or lose tonight, I believe they win the series, and they go on to play the Bucks, who are resting Pau Gasol and Malcolm Brogdon, in my opinion, to play a pretty heavy-loaded Celtics team. I believe they're going to compete with the Bucks, but I'm not sold on the Celtics until they win or beat the Bucks in a seven-game series. And I was wondering your opinion about, do you think they have the capabilities of winning the championship this year if they come up a little bit short against the Bucks here?
Well, if you come short against the Bucks, you got no chance of winning the championship. Can they win the championship? I guess they could, but I would say they are in my opinion, they're a long shot.
What are you going to do tonight? If the glue has the flu,
you got to win tonight.
What's up, guys?
For game two.
Yeah, you go even smaller. Maybe you go Marcus Morris.
What do you do? What do you do?
I like that. Do you hear that?
Yeah, no, I mean, like I don't.
He's got the flu.
I mean,
very good.
Yeah, and for game two.
Third line.
I guess it's a game time decision.
Even without Al Horford and Marcus Smart, a home game against the Indiana Pacers, who have no Victor Oladipo. Darren Collison is still coming back from that injury. He's not 100%. Bogdanovich has got a hip issue. So he's another questionable guy right now. Nowhere close to 100%. You're telling me without Al Horford and without Marcus Smart at home, you don't win this game tonight?
You absolutely should.
Get off Al Horford's back.
You absolutely should sweep this team. Okay, that's not a debate.
I don't know about the sweep. Question, maybe lose one.
Five tops.
In Indiana.
But a gentleman sweep.
That would be if you trust this team. And I don't. Like, would you be surprised at all if they lose this game? And then we hear more about the legend of Al Horford because he didn't play? You know, and it's
what'd you expect? Profile a little bit.
You know, yes. One other guy. Well, he's the only
Celtics.
Only big that can dribble. Like, how much credit does he get for being able to dribble up court?
It's a tough thing to do.
No, honestly, who's covering him? A big, slow, big, right? Just a whatever. Someone at 6'10", 6'11". Not an athletic guard.
It'd be very mean.
If an athletic guard covered Al Horford trying to handle up the court, you think it'd go okay? So he can actually dribble.
Right.
Like, walk and dribble. And that is the most amazing skill to some people in this town.
A lot of big guys can do that now, you know. In that league?
Walking dribble?
Yes, walking
really?
Dribble.
Really? I didn't realize.
A lot of guys can do that.
And dribbling.
I would say
you know
80s.
Why? Because the guy that's covering him is sitting at the free throw line waiting for him to walk and dribble.
Huh.
And the fact that he can walk and dribble is like the best skill set I've ever seen from a big. You know, not many bigs can dribble.
In the 80s, they couldn't.
When this guy that's covering him is sitting at the free throw line waiting for him his ass to get down to court, it's not like a guard is pressuring him. You think if Collison pressured Al Horford dribbling up the court, how'd that go?
He'd give it up. He'd have to give it up. You'd have to unload the ball and
am I wrong? How many years have I been hearing about the credit?
The poor guy's sick today.
The credit that people have been given Al Horford to be able to dribble up court while the guy covering him is sitting at the free throw line waiting for him to do that is like one of the greatest skills in the NBA.
All right, getting back to your original question. Would I be surprised if the Celtics lost tonight's game? Yes. Would I be surprised if it was a close game? No. You cannot let a team that cannot score. They scored 74 the other night. Okay, 74 in the entire game against you, and Milwaukee put 70 up in the first half against Detroit. So in the next series, if you're only going to score 84, you're going to lose every one of those games. But in this series, I think you can score 84. They've already proven it, and you can win by double figures. This is not a good Pacer team. This is a good was a good Pacers team in the first half of the season. They play defense and they play their ass off, but they don't have talented shooters right now. They can't score. And the whole idea of this being a tough series is ridiculous, and you learn nothing about the Celtics.
You learn nothing.
If they beat this team, I take it back. If they go 7 in this series, which was your original prediction, and they win in 7, you do learn a lot about the Celtics. You learn that the Celtics aren't that good.
I'm staying with
it. That's what you learn.
I'm going to stay
with
it. 7.
Wow. Wow.
I don't trust them as far as I could throw them. Wow. And I can't throw Al very far.
617-779.
Especially when he's got the flu.
I would tell Lou Maloney to back off.
Unbelievable.
Oh, he can dribble up court. Oh, yeah. You don't understand. Poor. He's a big that can dribble. Poor. I mean, how many bigs can dribble? Poor how many guys can dribble the ball up court that aren't covered like Al does? Oh, my God. He starts the offense. This guy, Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame. Put his number up there.
Comes down with the flu.
Never heard. It's ridiculous.
Lou picks on him. It's unbelievable. He's got the flu. Give the guy a break.
Jesus.
By the way, Scal will join us live in studio coming up closer to 4 o'clock. We get back to your phone calls next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
There's the regular season, then there's the playoffs. And to me, it's all about with your team ingredients. Okay, championship ingredients are a top head coach, playoff experience, winning playoff experience, and two stars, one has to be a great closer. Celtics have that. Celtics look great this weekend. They got the chef in Brad Stevens. They've got a great young player, Jason Tatum, who's also shown in the playoffs you can rely on him. Kyrie Irving's arguably the best closer in the game. To me, there's only three teams in the NBA with championship ingredients: Golden State, Houston, and Boston.
Has he seen the Greek Freak play? Has he ever seen him play? Is he paying attention to the rest of the league?
Well, I think, we didn't play yesterday, but didn't he go on and give us reasons why, like Milwaukee, Toronto, Philly, I don't think Philly is, but still, why aren't they built for it?
Kyle Lowry's never proven to be a step-up playoff guy, and the head coach is young and unproven.
Okay.
That's not a championship team in Toronto. It's a team that can win a bunch of regular season games. It's a team that plays really, really hard. It's a team that can win games. That's not a championship team. Now, I think Philadelphia is talented, but lacks chemistry and playoff mojo. And I think Milwaukee's really, really close. But I have no proof that Chris Middleton can step up and be big in a Game 6 or a Game 7 repeatedly in the playoffs.
Playoff mojo, that's like a technical term, right? When you're analyzing.
I think we do agree that there's something wrong with Philly, right?
There's something wrong with Philly. There's no question. And
the Kyle Lowry line.
Fourth quarter in games. The Lowry thing is, I'll go along with, but they
playoff
also.
Playoff mojo.
But they have a closer. They have Kawhi Leonard. They did not have him last year, right?
Yes.
There's a difference of DeRozan versus this guy. Kawhi Leonard is a closer. He is one of those guys. He's won before.
I don't get the Chris Middleton. So he hasn't been in front of his face. Did he? Evidently, he never watched last year.
But either. I have no proof that Chris Middleton can step up and be big in a Game 6 or a Game 7.
Well, okay, how about scoring 32 points in Game 7 against the Celtics last year? Oh. I know they lost, but he was outstanding in that series last year against the Celtics. Outstanding. I think he averaged like 25 points a game.
Right.
He put up 32 in Game 7.
They're going to get Brogdon back in the next series as well. He's been out. But I think the point he's missing with Milwaukee, it's a different coach. They are defensive-minded right now. They stop teams. And they have the Greek freak. And Giannis has taken his game to the next level.
But see, I again, you know, I feel like Colin, you know, like a lot of people nationally, I get it. You know, they don't watch the team every single day. So what he does is that he looks at a roster that has Kyrie Irving. You know, what Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown did, he probably watched them last year.
Yep,
in the playoffs. And said, you know, look what these young kids can do. And they got Terry Rozier coming off the bench. He was great in the postseason. You got Al Horford, five-time All-Star, the glue. You got Gordon Hayward, All-Star, how great he was in Utah. It's probably the last time he's seen him play.
I'm talking about the X Factor.
You know, he still probably thinks Marcus Smart's healthy and playing. You know, so he looks at that roster, and I don't blame him because we all did the same thing when the season started. Unfortunately, we've watched 83 games.
What about the chef?
The who?
The chef.
What about the chef?
Brad Stevens.
Oh, Brad Stevens.
Who puts it all together.
Yeah. How about him?
He's not had a good season.
No, so.
Has he been paying attention?
But don't you understand?
It's not been a good season.
We got Brad Stevens.
Could look at the roster and say, yes, they are the best team in the East. We all said that beginning of the season. But then something happened. We were forced to watch them play.
Well, when you come out, the first thing you say is Golden State, Houston, and Boston. You're giving a prediction that you were giving back in October. Okay, that's what you're doing. Because back in October, that prediction made sense. But based on the fact that Giannis right now may be the best player in the game, he's probably going to be named the MVP here in June. And you're telling me that Milwaukee's not a much better team? So here's what's happened here. Milwaukee,
the Chris Middleton line, I just don't get.
Yeah, he's missing that. Milwaukee is a better team than they were a year ago. Much better team. Matter of fact, they had the best record in the league this past season. And it was not a fluke, all right? And Boston is not as good. Even though you're incorporating names like Kyrie Irving and like Gordon Hayward, does anybody believe that Boston is as good right now as they were what we saw last year? And last year, the conditions were much easier for Boston. They were playing home games, all right? And on top of that, the East was nothing like what it is today. You had to go through LeBron. And by the way, they didn't go through LeBron. They lost against LeBron. So I don't know where he's coming up with this stuff.
I love being uncomfortable.
I don't know where he's coming up with this stuff. All right, back to the phone calls.
Who's also shown in the playoffs you can rely on him.
Yeah, okay. Paul's in the car and wants to talk about the Red Sox. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I got to start off by just saying, Lou, everything you've been doing as far as games and talking about the Sox, I love the tone yet that you have. You sound like you're very frustrated and very angry, and I do like that because I think it's a changing in the guard in terms of all this coddling and everything we've always done on your end, at least not you individually, but as far as the media piece. And I really do hear it and I feel it, and I'm right there with you as well as a lot of fans. So.
Well, I think most people, Paul, look at it and say, I know this team won a World Series. What, 5-6 months ago? But or whatever it was, but is it okay to be pissed with how they're playing now? Yes,
exactly.
You don't even recognize this team. They're lost up and down the roster.
Well, even more so when you look at the talent and you say to yourself, look at that starting rotation. Is there anybody in the offseason that said that Boston would have trouble with starting pitching this year? No.
Well, I was going to say that as far as a big point was that one of our strengths coming into the season, of course, you would have named the starting pitching. That being said, and I still go back, and I've heard you guys talk about it, and I brought it up the first week of the season, as far as being ready. I know there was talk about last year they did this, they did that, as far as spring training regimen, but I'm not worried about last year. Last year is last year, of course. So they weren't, and I just believe the whole team itself was not prepared for this coming season. And you guys had, it might have been last week, I think you had Cora on, Glenn, and you were kind of trying to ask the question, and he was doing his best to try to avoid it, I think, in terms of, you know, are you prepared? You know, what did you do in spring training and such? And I just think he was avoiding the question altogether. But overall, this team was not and is still not ready for this season.
No, the lucky break they have right now is that the Yankees have all these injuries and they're 2 games under 500, right? And the question is, can the Rays continue to do this all year long? Glasnow pitched another game last night. Apparently, they have pitching that can beat Baltimore. All right, so they're 13-4. I don't know if that stays all year long. You look at there's a lot of bad teams that are off to slow starts. Houston's finally getting their act in gear.
Well, I can say
but,
this.
But
Alex,
how long can this the Red Sox continue to do
Alex
this?
Alex will put on the face and he will try to stay consistent. He'll try to say it's going to turn, but I know this, that he's extremely disappointed in his team, and I think he's another one that falls in the category that realizes that right now his team sucks.
Awful.
I know that. So he knows it's unacceptable. All he can do is, you know, rely on the talent to sometimes turn it around. Maybe he gets into somebody here, there, maybe behind the scenes. But for the most part, these guys, they got to figure it out because, like, again, they are, other than three or four people, five people maybe on the roster, a couple hitters and back-end bullpen guys, everyone else, a little bit lost, I would say. Fair to say.
They're a minus 40 right now. A minus 40. The only team that's worse in Major League Baseball is the Marlins, who are 4-14, and they're minus a 43.
I hope they lose by 40. That would be the same.
Minus 40. Tampa Bay, by the way, is a plus 40. Alex Cora will join us on the program tomorrow at 2:30. It'll be very interesting to see what he has to say in the morning.
I know we're going to break right now. We've got an update in the Robert Kraft video situation.
We do, and it's a very interesting one, and I'm a little concerned that I might have to change my priorities tonight for watching. This portion of the program being brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lowell. Online, 495ram.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
The saying that a picture's worth a thousand words, a video is worth a billion words in this particular instance. The media that's here, this video will be broadcast around the world if it's released. What is the interest the public has in seeing it? It's basically pornography, Your Honor. And I don't think that there's any particular interest that the state has or that the media has in publishing it. There's no need to actually see the video unless you have a prurient interest in seeing the video.
So that's Kraft's attorney, William Burke. And earlier today, it looked like we were going to have quite a night of viewing because we've already got the Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, and the NFL schedule release. Prosecutors were basically saying they were ready to release the video on Robert Kraft, and they wanted to. And the reason they wanted to is because they have another case, and that case happens to be the owner of that spa. And they have to prove that because she's up right now for running a house of prostitution, that there was actually sex being conducted within the spa. So they were ready to release the tape. But according to TJ Quinn of ESPN, he's been pretty good on this stuff there. This has been a bonkers day in the Robert Kraft case after the prosecutor said they intend to release the video evidence ASAP. Kraft and a John Doe filed a motion to intervene and block it. A judge just ordered that the state may not release the evidence until there is a hearing. Now, Quinn also said that Kraft's attorneys are accusing the Palm Beach County State Attorney's Office of prosecutorial misconduct, basically breaking a promise that was made last Friday not to release the evidence until a judge okays it. So you got some games being played down there right now.
Unless you have a prurient interest in seeing the video.
So I think the prosecutors right now, Lou, are looking at this because let's face it, there's no trafficking.
I understand this. So the judge ordered the state may not release the evidence until there's a hearing. But isn't the prosecution, what they're doing now is saying there is a hearing. There's not the Robert Kraft.
No,
the first hearing we have is the two women. So we have to use the tape. And that hearing is before Robert Kraft's.
But the judge won't release the tape. So
they want to use it for the other hearing.
But they can't now because this judge has basically, from my understanding, is this judge has sealed it temporarily until they have a hearing on whether the tape should be released or not. So the prosecutor, but here's what's happening. The prosecutors down there, they don't have a human trafficking case. They've got nothing down there. And the whole idea of embarrassing these guys who went into the day sport, did they do something wrong? Sure, they did something wrong. It's a misdemeanor. We get it. We understand that. But they want to embarrass these guys. And by the way, there's not a history of them releasing videotapes of guys getting, you know, a little extra at a spa. This is not a continuous thing.
No, but they probably never had requests like this one, let's face it.
Well, but this is what they're doing, though. They got themselves a big fish.
Oh, yeah,
they
got
a billionaire who's lining up all of the attorneys, right? He's throwing counselors at you left and right, high-profile guys, and they don't like it. And so they're fighting back. Because, let's face it, this case is really nothing, right? It's nothing. And you got 24 other guys involved in it as well. Some of them that are all lining up to sue and suing in a civil case now for emotional distress as well, even though they claim they didn't even have sex because they're scared to death that their whole career is going to be ruined if the video gets out there, even though they claim they just had a massage, which is totally legal last time I checked, right?
Yes.
I think it's legal.
I believe the men are the most guilty.
So what
we did have that one guy call in. I don't know what he was, a lawyer or authority, whatever it was. When you get a legal search warrant and you monitor, not everything you monitor is criminal activity, but I don't think it falls under the invasion of privacy because it's a legal warrant. You know what I mean? If I tap a phone line to have this guy who's dealing drugs or whatever it is, there are going to be private conversations. Someone's going to call him once in a while that doesn't know that that phone is bugged because the guy's doing something illegal. So that person who calls that guy can sit there and sue for invasion of privacy because you listened into my private conversation? I don't think it works like that.
Well, what they're claiming, though, is that you illegally acquired the video access to what this to that person's privacy, because you didn't have the right to do it. You didn't have a human trafficking case there. You were basically using that to be able to line up and go in there and put video cameras.
I just think if you did nothing wrong, right, if you went in there and got a massage and they released your video,
right,
now I understand that. But if it's one of these things like, yeah, I know we monitored because it was illegal activity. There was prostitution going on in this thing. You got a massage.
Right.
You're not part of this. I'm not releasing your video.
Yeah, but the tapes were not the video.
They have no case.
Well, the whole monitoring.
Other than you invaded my privacy. Well, okay, there's some illegal going on. You happen to walk in the wrong place. Sorry.
Yeah, but you have protection of privacy, Lou.
I don't think you do if you have a search warrant and do it.
But hold on. If human trafficking were going on there, and they had a legitimate reason to go in there with human trafficking and then discovered human trafficking, I'm sorry, Robert Kraft doesn't have a case, okay? Sorry, Robert, there's a bigger issue here, and that is we've got trafficking going on of human beings, and you're going to get caught up into the whole thing. That I totally understand. But when we find out that they basically went to a judge for sneak and peek approval to go in there and put cameras when they had no trafficking case whatsoever. It did not exist. They were more interested in trying to grab these guys, trying to embarrass these Johns so that they could stop these spas from actually giving you a little extra. That's what this was all about.
Would they have been able to get a search warrant if they went and they said there's prostitution going on in this spa?
I doubt it, because it happens all the time.
It's illegal.
Yeah, but I doubt it.
Stop an illegal activity.
Well, I don't know if it's happened before, but I find it very interesting that you've got people now that are part of the 24, and we're starting to hear from the other 24, even though they're all John Does. You notice that? So Robert Kraft's name is out there.
Everyone else is John Does.
Everybody else is a John Doe.
Yeah.
But the John Does have attorneys in there. Who knows? Maybe Kraft's attorneys are kind of helping them out.
Strength in numbers.
Right. Assisting them out a little bit. And their other John Does are coming up right now and fighting this. Because for them, this becomes extremely embarrassing. Whatever their business is, it's embarrassing if it gets out there.
Nothing ever happened. But something happened.
But it's not what they originally claimed it was. So I could clearly understand that you want to have access to somebody's privacy because there's a bigger issue here. There's something that is really serious in society. But when you don't have that and you go to a judge and you basically make it up because of your own beliefs and your own, furthering your own political career, because I'm going to stop all this prostitution and these little massage parlors, then I think that video should be off limits. I think they should be able to maintain their
privacy. That should be the rush at this point for this judge to determine whether it was obtained illegally or not.
Right.
Or if it was, whatever, under what he ordered to do the search warrant, right? Monitor, not record. That should be the quick ruling right now. Say, listen, this video, you guys didn't obtain it legally. So it's not, you can't use it. That should be the decision that you make quickly here.
And the way I read it, and these are lawyers now who are breaking this information down, they used the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act was put into place after 9/11. So that we could violate the privacy of terrorists. So does Robert Kraft and all of these other John Does, they might be breaking the law with a misdemeanor going in there and getting a little bit more than a massage. But do we put them in the same category as terrorists?
Ridiculous.
Okay, it's ridiculous. So if that's the case, then I've got to believe the judge is going to look at it and say, come on, guys, this is not what the purpose, what it's for. Now, and you just brought up the point that the prosecutors, and it was a cute move by them today, to say we need to release the videotape ASAP today. We need to get it out there. Why? Because they have another pending case with the woman who owns this day spa because they want to grab her for prostitution.
Praise God.
Right?
Yes.
So, and it's a smart move for them to do that. But if that's the case, do you really need to release the tape? Because all you're trying to do is prove that she and people who work for her were having sex with these Johns that were coming in and there was cash being exchanged. So we already heard that they were going to pixelize private parts. Wouldn't you say that the face should be pixelized as well? Why do we need to know the identity of any of these John Does? We already know that Robert Kraft is one of those guys. We're all going to be looking, as you said, for the Nike sneakers and the white collar with the dark blue shirt.
Might give it away.
Right. Pixelated.
But if you cover it all up, that serves the purpose. The prosecutor is able to go into the courtroom and say, see, whatever her name is, this woman was having sex with people in her massage parlor.
Yes.
We don't need to see the faces. We don't need to know the identity.
I agree.
We don't need to destroy their lives. That's the way it should be done. Why do you need the tape out there? And I think they want the tape out there because they're pissed at him loading up on lawyers, and they're pissed that he's coming in there and he's a billionaire and he's able to fight back. That's what they're pissed at right now. And they don't like it. They want to fight back and they want to embarrass him.
You think it all could have been, I think they would have played ball more with the video if he did plead no contest early.
Yeah, but they wanted him to plead.
No, that was after. That was after the hiring of three lawyers. That was after the attack. That was after attacking them and everything they did wrong.
I don't remember if they offered him no contest originally.
I'm just saying, could it all been like, listen, okay, no contest, no video. Could it all been handled better early on? But the minute the Kraft and his attorneys went on the attack, they sat there, dug their heels in, and said, you know what, screw you.
Yeah, I'm not sure they offered that to him or the other Johns originally. But let's say they did, Lou. Would you trust them with the video? Would you, if they said, don't worry about it. We won't let the video out. Do you feel better if you were to go into a court of law, which they did in Chicago
listen, our guy's going to plead no contest. Let's put a seal on the video. I wonder if that was the very first thing, the conversation that happened, if there wouldn't have been an agreement of, you know, we'll seal the video. And, yeah, no contest, good.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust him. I think I would still, and I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. Maybe a lawyer would know this, but I would think a lawyer would want to go in to a judge and make sure that they have an order that it is sealed.
So when will Robert Kraft's first game be at Gillette? The schedule's being announced. So the NFL is going to announce their schedule tonight, I believe, at 8 p.m. Everybody already knows what it is.
Every team knows.
When you see a schedule, what's the first thing you look at?
Bye week.
Me too. Week 10. That's a good bye week.
And then
opening day.
Most years they get a good bye week.
Nine last week, I think it was.
And that might have something to do with how many appearances they have, you know, on primetime games.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, they might have a better opportunity.
Not too many 1 o'clock games here.
By the way, I already went through the schedule, didn't my Mike and the Mad Dog? Win, loss. I've got them losing week 2 at Miami, by the way.
Well, I was going to say, they're not going to go undefeated in the division.
Going 5-1.
They open up with Pittsburgh Sunday Night Football.
They win. That I got a win down for that one.
Then the next 3 weeks, it's at Miami, Jets at home, and Buffalo.
Win.
So I'm just saying, the first 4 weeks, there's always a what the hell is going on with this team.
It'll be Miami. It'll be about 98 degrees.
Could be the Jets.
Yeah, with humidity at 90%.
Well, the Jets are
at home. Jets at home. They're not going to lose to the Jets at home. The Jets suck. Buffalo the same way. So, yeah, I've got them beating Pittsburgh, losing to Miami, win against the Jets, Bills at Washington. I like them there. Thursday night against the Giants.
For some reason, the schedule looked tougher when it was like the teams that they were playing. And then I look at it, and it's like you got Buffalo, yep. Miami Jets, Buffalo at Washington, home against the Giants, at the Jets.
Yeah.
Then it gets the second half, okay, Cleveland, but it's at home.
Forget it. And not only is it home, it's week 8.
At Baltimore?
But it's week 8. Do you think the Cleveland Browns are dead by week 8? By week 8.
No, what do you mean? You think they're a dead team?
No. By week 8, I think they've come down to earth. I think they get off to a good, I haven't even looked at their schedule, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them get off to a good start.
You come off the bye. You got at Philly.
This is when it gets tough. Five games that get tough.
At Philly.
Yep.
Home against Dallas.
Yep.
At Houston.
Yep.
Home against the Chiefs.
Right.
And then you finish up at Cincy, Buffalo, Miami.
Blah, blah, blah.
But this is the other thing, too. So starting in week 6 against the Giants, 8:20. So I'm guessing, I think is that Sunday night?
Yes.
And then you got the Jets, Monday Night Football, 8:15. 4:25 against the Browns, 8:20. I think another Sunday night game against the Ravens. Phillies at 4:25, Cowboys at 4:25, Texans at 8:20. Another Sunday night game or Monday night game. Actually, one of them's a Thursday night game. And then you get the Chiefs at 4:25. So you got like 8 weeks in a row of either 4:25 or 8 o'clock starts.
They're going to go to the Super Bowl.
So I'm trying to come up with my losses because I've got them. I said 12-4. So I've got a loss at Miami in week 2. Week 13 at Houston. I think they lose that game.
That's it.
I got to find two more. Maybe that
14-2.
Maybe that Baltimore Ravens game. That would be 13-3. I'll give them a loss right there. Do you really see them losing at home?
Thanks, Glenn.
You're welcome.
Yes,
losing at home. They're not going to see. I don't think they lose to Dallas week 12. Kansas City in week 14. Kansas City's going to be an interesting team to watch this year because they're coming off of heartache. Let's see where that goes. And the last three at Cincinnati, the Bengals are going to be mathematically eliminated for nine weeks
Buffalo,
by that
Miami
game. Right.
Yeah.
You're going to win those. This is not a tough schedule. They have a stretch there, and they're coming off of a bye week when they go into Philadelphia. So I feel pretty good about that game.
Yeah.
All right? Dallas, you get them at home. I would feel differently if you were playing them on the road.
I think 11 wins. Okay. I got to find five. I'll find five.
You got to find five, Dale. Look, I can only find three so far.
I'll find five.
At Houston, I will say that's
a
tough one.
7-2, 6-3, going into the bye week. 7-2.
Well, where are they going
to find two, three more? 6-3.
I found two that they lost up to the bye week, Miami and Baltimore. I'll give you that. Cleveland at home.
They'll lose a head scratcher.
Lou, how are we doing?
Good, Bill. They'll lose a head scratcher.
Let me go back to the phone calls. Here's Juan in Framingham. Hello, Juan.
Yes, hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Hey Juan, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I just had a quick question. I just want to know your guys' opinion. Once Demaryius Thomas and Josh Gordon's on that field, how much confidence do you guys have in that wide receiving core? Thank you guys.
I don't have a lot. And
none.
We found out why they signed Demaryius Thomas, because it cost them $150,000.
Yeah, and the base is $1.2. So Rapp had the salary $6 million, and like we said, so $6 million if he plays 16 games and probably 90% of the snaps,
and
right?
And he's got to be great, and he'd be worth it. at $6 million,
sure.
Right?
Yeah,
if he
does, absolutely.
If he does everything, he'd be a steal.
But it's really more about the $150,000 guaranteed, the 1.2 base. My best case scenario for Demaryius Thomas is that he starts the year in the pup list, and you know, and he tries to come back here week 7, week 8, whenever he's eligible.
Nobody died.
Guy tore his Achilles in week 12. I mean, yeah. week 16 last year. End
Started
of December.
Through it.
But yesterday we were looking at it. $6 million? What are we talking about? And then we said, let's wait and see until we see it, how it's structured out. And then when you look how it's structured out, you're sitting there going, $150,000. That's all they're on the hook for. Piece of cake. This is one of those. Let's try it. Take a chance. See what happens. Maybe he gets healthy. Maybe we get lucky. Chances of all of that stuff happening, probably about 10%.
So we
on top of that, he's soft.
By the way, we threw out a poll. You know, you're caught about rather having Porcello than Sandy Leon?
Yes. How does it going?
So the poll basically was you had one at bat. Who gets it, a pitcher or Sandy Leon? 69% would rather have a pitcher
now
than Sandy Leon.
No question.
That was a good one.
No question. Mm-hmm. All right, 617-779-7937. Brian Scalabrine is doing the game tonight on NBC Sports Boston. He is joining us live in studio coming up next.
Uh-oh, it's going to get crazy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.